tonight to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. We're going to try to get in this one verse of scripture and share with you just a few thoughts. I'm not endeavoring to do anything other than a simple, simple share thought, and pray the Holy Spirit will use it and help us as we look forward to Jubilee. In Mark chapter 11, verse number 24, stand please while I read the word of God. Therefore, now after a while we'll come back to that therefore, because therefore is for their purpose, not just there to fill a word. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, just want to take another few minutes to say thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to know you as our Heavenly Father. And the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. The joy to our hearts to have a Bible. Lord, be in a place where we're not in turmoil tonight, but we can come together like this and worship God. And come together and have food to eat and clothes to wear and a place to sleep. Give you all the praise and the glory, and we're thinking of those tonight that does not have that. I pray, God, you'd help them. And we ask in Jesus' name, help us not to take for granted this great opportunity that we have to pray. And then, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, touch our minds, illuminate us, help us, God, have a touch of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would help me to think, and then help me to say what you want me to say. And I pray, speak to our hearts tonight. God, just open our hearts to thy word, and Father, speak to us and help us, God, to be able to comprehend with our hearts, not just our minds, but our hearts, that word of God that is so precious. Thank you and praise you for what you do. You know every need of every individual here. I pray, God, meet the need. We'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you mark in your Bibles, you probably marked the scripture that I preached. I preached a message one time, and I know I did because I had it jotted down here. A capability and a possibility and ability, but that's not the way I'm going tonight. I'm just taking this one verse, just looking at it, and I want to get it in its context to start with, and then we'll just look at simply what it says and pray that God will speak to our hearts and help us in our praying. And if I titled it tonight, I just call it When We Pray. When We Pray. Let's look back, please, in verse number 12. Now, Jesus made his triumphant entry, and they've been crying Hosanna and blessed to him and all that they praised him coming into the Jerusalem. But now in verse number 12, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now I'll pause there just a minute and say this about, I'm going something, Brother Milton said, I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me. I'm looking at these verses of scripture, and I'm standing here, and when I've read them many times, and you probably have too, many, many times. But I never had really hit me like it did just recently as I read those verses. And here Jesus sees a fig tree far off. He's hungry. As a man, he's hungry. And he's looking for something. He comes to it, and it has no figs on it. And then he tells the tree it's not bearing fruit, and it dries up. Now, I thought, maybe you've never thought like this, but I thought about that. Jesus knows everything from beginning to end. Nothing takes him, but the fact is he made that fig tree. And fact is, he's the reason the fig tree grew. And everything about that fig tree he knew about. It wasn't a time of figs. I read that and I thought, well, Jesus knew it wasn't a time of figs. And he knew that tree didn't have any fruit on. As God, he knew that. Undoubtedly, he was God, much God's God's God. And so he had to know it. He knew that, but yet he came to that tree and said he was looking for fruit, had none, had leaves on it, it was alive, but it wasn't time for figs. And so then he tells that tree it'll not bear any fruit forever. His disciples heard it. Now look in verse number 20. And in the morning, after they've been up and coming back again, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, here's when Jesus said, bear fruit, no more fruit forever. What happened was, the next day when it came back by, it dried up from the roots. I believe every leaf had fell off. I believe it's dead as 4 o'clock, as we would say today. Nothing about that tree was alive, gone. Made an impression on the disciples. And Peter said, behold that tree. He said, look at it. They saw the fig tree. And Peter called to remembrance, and this is verse 21, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. It's just withered up. It's dead. Gone. And Jesus answered and saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Now he's driving someone. I believe that Jesus deliberately set that fig tree there, deliberately had the leaves showing on it, deliberately with his disciples said, I'm looking for fruit on it, deliberately went to it, deliberately knowing what it was and where it was and why that it had no fruit. But he's going to make an example out of that and use it to drive home a point to those disciples. I pray tonight that God will drive something home to us and help us in our life. Now, I always a little hesitant about this because I want to make sure I say everything right when I preach along these lines, because I know I'm no authority on faith and prayer. I'll tell you that right off. I'm a student of it. I'm trying to learn more about it. I'd like to know more about it. I believe I come far short in it. I'd like for God to help me with that. And that's exactly what God is doing with these disciples in this place. I believe that's exactly why he put the fig tree there, exactly why it did what it did, and exactly why he did what he did to the fig tree so he could drive home a point. He said it, he believed it, and God dried that thing up from the roots, and it was dead the next day as he come back by. Now, usually a tree's going to die. It'll start a leaf or two falling off, and it'll begin to turn brown, the leaves, and then after a while, there's no sap in it at all, and, you know, it takes time and in a dying process, but just all of a sudden, it's dead. And that made an impression on these disciples, and they asked, and I believe they were really in their minds questioning, how did that happen? How did that happen? And Jesus then said, have faith in God. For verily, pay attention to it, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I realize the fact that that's strong language, and some today have picked that up out of context. Now, Jesus is trying to drive home. He is not trying. He is driving home a point again. There's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. And the fig tree, I believe, is a real picture and a real type for us to know that God did that. Jesus did that for the glory of God. So God would get the glory. And then when those disciples asked him about it, he would say, have faith in God. Here's a miracle. Here's something that has happened. Here's something that took place. And you don't understand it. I said to that tree, bear fruit no more. It happened, and there it is, and it's dead. Now, I want you to get a hold of this, that God can do anything that he wants to do. That's right. God cannot lie, and God can't deny himself, and God can't act unholy because he is holy. And so, hey, some things God can't do, but he can do anything he wants to do that's right with his character and then with his holiness. Amen. And so he's not limited. You and I are limited. We live in a limited society, limited people, a limited time. And we always are looking at things from the viewpoint of what we see and what we think can and will happen. And as we look forward to Jubilee and days to come, even this year, 2010, as we look forward to it, we see it what we expect and what we're thinking about with our mental concept. But I pray to the good Lord he'll help us. I'm glad we had some praises tonight and somebody getting saved, somebody going to church, because we're looking for those kind of things. And I believe when we're praying and asking God for something, it'll be for the glory of God. And when verse 24, he said, therefore, he said, I'm saying this to you about that mountain. Now, everything that he, that, well, just let me get into the message and then I'll get to that and try to get it in context of what I'm trying to say. Therefore, he had made the statement. He had shown the fig tree. He got him this place and said what he said about the mountain. Therefore, I say. Now, notice here again, and we're starting this verse. I say. It's not what me personally saying. Jesus is the one talking here. Jesus said it. I said a while ago, we cannot lie, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. If God cannot lie, and God came, and God said, and here he's saying it, I say unto you. That means me, that means you. He's talking to disciples in context. He's talking to every one of them. But he gave us his word, and he's speaking to us. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, whatsoever things ye desire. That word desire, and we study it, it means a sincere want. And not just a passion fad or something that passes your mind, some little frivolous something, but a real desire is something that you hunger after. It's something that really is real to you. It's not just something you passionately can take it or leave it. It's something that you so hunger after. It's like the blessed hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. John there on the Isle of Patmos, when he said, come quickly, Lord Jesus, that's a desire of his heart. It was not just something that he frivolously was saying. He desired that Jesus would come. That's the kind of desire we ought to have about the coming of Jesus, really desiring his coming. But then when we pray for something, sometimes we pray and we ask for things, and James put it like this. He said, ye ask, but ye ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. And if we're not careful, a whole lot of our praying is using God like a bellhop. Lord, I want, I want, I want, I want, I, this, that, and the, amen. And it's not for God's glory. It's not really to magnify him. It is to give us our satisfaction and what we desire in our heart. Now, when I say what we desire, what we want in there, but sometimes that desire is a real desire that God has placed there, that he wants us to have, that he may magnify himself through fulfillment of that desire. And I believe there are times that God puts a desire in our hearts. Brother Bill, I believe God has put a desire in your heart to reach the Hispanics in prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that God on Sunday morning fulfills that desire and helps you in winning some folk to Hispanics in prison Monday morning. Amen. And that's the kind of desire I'm talking about. That's not to magnify Bill Adair. God could have sent somebody else by and brought the gospel and anointed it and used it for his glory. But God allowed Brother Bill Adair to be the man that he took and the man that he used for that purpose. Amen. I think it's very serious that you and I, and I was reminded of this recently, but you and I, I remind myself constantly of the fact that I am nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anything has ever happened at Gateway Baptist Church that's good, it's because that God did it. God gets the glory. Amen. I do not want ever this church to everything. Hey, listen, this church is not built on Ray Stewart. It is built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It better be built on Jesus. If all you got's what in me, and then when I pass off the scene, you won't have anything. But when I'm gone, praise God, Jesus still be around. And when I'm not around, Jesus will still be here. I say hallelujah. I like it. Amen. Because I like it because Jesus is God. And he's able. And I want you to get that down deep in your heart, deep in your soul, that Jesus Christ is who it's all about. And so now I'm trying to drive home a point there, because in our praying I know all of us have certain desires. We have family, we have friends, we have folk we want to see get saved. That's a godly desire, to see people get saved. But if we only want to see them get saved for our sake, then that's not all there is to it. We ought to want to get them saved so it would magnify and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm glad for people to come in and share with you about people getting saved. Always happy about that. Always a joy to hear that. But I never want us to get to the point where that's all we rejoice in, because we got to lead somebody. I want God to get glory and honor, because it may be in a service nobody gets saved. It may be in a service where nobody makes a move to the altar. But God Almighty met with us and did something in some hearts and lives and made some people think. And maybe later down the road, there'll be some results come out of that and some fruit come forward. Amen. So may we never measure everything on sight, but measure it by God, how God sees it. I'm not so concerned about what I see. I do want to see people say, and I'm careful about how I'm putting this, because I do want to see people come to Christ. I do want to see numbers of people in Jubilee. I do want to see people excited. I do want people shouting, praising God. I do want good singing, great preaching. I do want all of that. But oh, God, help me to want more than that. I want the presence of the living God to be so real in every heart, in every life, and in my life, and our lives will never be the same. That God would move in our hearts. Men can come in that's discouraged and leave out with joy in their soul and say, I'm going back and preach and win people to God, or be a faithful witness, or a faithful husband or wife, or a child got in rebellion, come and yield their life and say, I want my life straightened out for the glory of God. Amen. 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 I want that. I desire that. I desire in my heart to see God move in such a way that would magnify and glorify him. I want that. I want that. I desire that. Now notice what God said here in his word. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray. Now notice what he said there, when you pray. He didn't say if you prayed. He said when you pray. He's taking for granted that you're going to pray. He think, amen. And surely God's people ought to pray. He looked at those disciples and said, when you pray. And so I'm looking at you tonight and say, when you pray. And surely we better pray. And we were praying around the altar a while ago. And surely what a time. That's an important time when we get around the altar and pray. It's an important time. Anytime you go to God in prayer, that's an important time. Hey, you're having fellowship with God. You're worshiping God. If you don't worship God, you'll never pray. But when you worship, you pray and pray when you worship. Amen. And get with God. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. And so if we diligently seek him, we ask him, believe it, and it's for his glory, his honor. We want his presence, we want his power, and we desire that for his sake, for his glory and his honor. And see people saved for his glory. Jesus died for sinners. He paid a price for sin. It's his will to save sinners. He desires to save sinners. And so we can pray in that direction and ask God to help us. That ye shall have them. Ye shall have them. But let me go on just a couple of verses, what he says about this. Now get verse 24. I'm going to read it again. Therefore, he told them about the fig tree. He told them what you could say to this mountain, go, and it'd go if you believe and not doubt in your heart. Now notice in verse 23, he said, shall not doubt in his heart. Doubt in. How many times have I asked God and said, God, I believe, but down deep in my heart, I'm doubting it. Y'all have never done that. Y'all always believe every bit of it. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure I do. No, I fail God. I say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for this. I'll step out there on faith. I'm going to believe. I'm like the Apostle Peter. I start singing. That's what he did. He stepped up by faith and believed God, started going to Jesus, believed what he said. But then he started doubting, started sinking. That's how we do about a lot of our praying. We start out good praying and believing. Before we know it, we start doubting and we start sinking. I'm just trying to help us in our praying. I'm trying to help me in my praying. I'm trying to help all of us. We pray for revival and pray for jubilee and pray for God's move and stir in this place. And then he made that statement about not doubting. Says, you believe those things that come to pass, they shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things ever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye will receive them, and ye shall have them. Verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If of aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now he qualifies all this he's been saying. He said, now, I've said to you about this praying and believing business, but now let's qualify it. If you're really going to pray, you're going to have to forgive. If you want me to move and answer your prayer, you're going to have to forgive. Now, you say, preacher, I've got a forgiving heart, and I forgive. You know what? I have a problem with that just like I do that doubting business. I forgive, but every once in a while that thing will rire up. Amen. Y'all have that problem too. And something's happened somewhere down the road, and somehow it just keeps nagging. I say, Lord, I forgive him. I want to get it out of my mind, out of my heart. Next thing I know, I'm thinking about it. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. And God help us, just be honest. And so we need to forgive. And God's not, and this qualification about forgiveness here, you see, when you go to God and you ask God, and he's saying, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive. If we don't forgive, we've got sin in our hearts and God can't hear us. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, God can't hear us when we pray. That's what God said. And so we got to get iniquity out and got to get the sin out. So if we do that, we got to forgive. Now tonight be a good night for us to make up our minds. And we're going to forgive. And we're going to get that things behind us. And we're going to move on for God. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. And pray for God's glory and God's honor. And God to help us have the right desire in our hearts when we pray. And let God help us in our praying. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege we have just to look at that verse of scripture in its context of what you're saying and how you're illustrating it to us about praying. And Lord, I realize tonight that my words stutter and stammer and fail, but your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, it'll never come short. You never lie to us. You've never failed us. You never messed up anyway. And Father, it's on our part that we fail and we doubt and we won't forgive and we have problems and we have difficulties and we struggle. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name, help us tonight that we may, in our own hearts, in our own lives, deal with our own selves. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit help us because we don't even know ourselves like we ought to unless you help us see ourselves. Then Father, help us see that doubt. Help us see that unforgiveness. Help us see what we need in our own heart. And God, tonight I pray that as we come to an invitation time, that you would so move that all of us may see ourselves like you see us and that we may act upon that and you have your way. Father, I'm tonight crying out to you, Lord, for help. I need help. I need you to help me. I need you tonight, God, and I pray in Jesus' name as we move toward Jubilee and praying for what we're praying for, and I'm thinking about other needs in the church and people's families and lives and individuals, and Father, I pray, God, your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. And I realize, God, that you're looking for somebody somewhere that'll pray, that'll believe you, act on faith. And Father, just as sure as that fig tree dried up, Lord, you can answer a prayer. And you can do that man thinks is impossible. You said for us to come to you and believe that you are and that you're a reward of them that diligently seek you. And I pray tonight, God, you'd help moving our minds and hearts to act upon thy word. And we'll praise you. All you do in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, stand to your feet, please. Piano's playing softly.